You'd open in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, I'd like for us to take the admonition that Paul gave to the Romans here and to consider the God that we know and the God that we serve. Romans chapter 11 and verse 22, Paul says, "Therefore consider the goodness and severity of God." In the context of this setting here, he was speaking to the Gentiles that had been grafted back, or had been grafted into the vine, which is Jesus, at the expense of those Jews who had hardened their hearts and had taken themselves, had been cut out of the vine because of their disbelief. So it's a contrast between obedience and faithfulness and the disobedient and unbelieving at this time. And the context in beginning in verse 19 starts and he says, "You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. But do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise you also will be cut off." You consider the dual aspect of God. He gives us the reasons to both love him and be grateful to him, that goodness that he has given, but also to be mindful of the severity that he has upon those who are disobedient. When we read through the Old Testament and when we consider the world around us, it's very interesting to note how so many people like to take certain aspects and characteristics of God and focus on only that. And in essence, they are creating a different God than what is presented to us. They will focus either on just the severity of God, those who want to refute God and say, "Look at all the terrible, evil things that he's done to people, the punishments that it said God did to people in the Old Testament. How can you serve as such a severe and terrible God that would judge people like that?" And others who would say, "Well, look at the love that God has. And he's a loving God and he won't let anything bad happen to anybody because he loves all people and all people are good in his sight." And they create a God that's very different than what we see. There's a couple of Old Testament examples I'd like for us to consider in the idea of this. In Exodus chapter 32, what do we see the children of Israel having done? When Moses was up on the mountain receiving the law from God, the people that were left down at the foot of the mountain, who had just days earlier heard the word of God, the voice of God speaking to them from the mountain, and those that had gone up with Moses to see in Exodus chapter 24, Moses and the priests and 70 of the elders were shown an image of the throne of God. And then days later here in Exodus chapter 32, while Moses delayed and was on the mountain still, they create a golden calf. And when the calf is created, Aaron says, "Here's the God that delivered you from Egypt." Not the God that they had just heard speaking to them from the mountain, not the God that those had seen while they ate in his presence, but this is the God that delivered them from Egypt, he said. They took one characteristic of God, and they chose that to be this representation of the golden calf, the God of deliverance he put before them. And again, in 2 Kings chapter 18, we have the example of Hezekiah. When Hezekiah first became king, he went throughout the land, cleaning out the land of the temples, or of the idols, and the false gods that people were bowing down to. But one of the aspects that he destroyed in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 4, is what is referred to as Nehushtan, which is the bronze serpent that Moses had erected at the commandment of God. When the people were murmuring and complaining against God out in the wilderness, he sent fiery serpents to judge them, to punish them because of their disobedience. When the serpents became too bad, God gave those who were willing to repent a way to be healed from the bites of the serpents. If they would look upon this brass serpent that Moses put up on a pole for them to look at, they would be saved. And yet we see here, hundreds of years later, the people are worshiping or offering up worship before this brass serpent. Not in accordance to what God had commanded them to do, but they are worshiping before this brass serpent. They are worshiping before that idea of salvation that they had had at one point. It wasn't the full God who had told them not to have any graven images before him, to not to offer up sacrifices to any graven image, but it was to the God, that aspect of salvation that they saw in the brass serpent. And in contrast to that, we see over in Deuteronomy chapters 28 through 30, when you read through that, who is the God that Moses presents to the people? He presents both the blessings that would come upon them, the goodness of God, if they would continue in faith and obedience to him. And in contrast to that, he says, but when you disobey, when you become unfaithful to him, here are the curses that come upon you. So Moses, in contrast to what Aaron and the people did during Hezekiah's time, Moses presents both the goodness and the severity of God to the people. He says, this is the God that you are to obey, the one who is both good and loving and kind to you, who has delivered you from the hands of the oppressors, who has sustained you throughout this land and will continue to sustain you in the land that you are going into, but also the God who will punish you in his justice for the disobedience and unfaithfulness that you will fall into as well. Many today look at God and worship only the certain aspects that they think are the best aspects of him in their own mind. They create their own God to worship, the God of love and peace and mercy, and forget the aspect, as Paul reminded them in Romans chapter 11. Yes, he's been merciful to you and grafted you into this vine. But remember the goodness and the severity of God. If you fall into that same idea of disbelief, you too can be cut off as well. It's the same idea that those who only want to look at one side of God, consider also Job's friends when they were speaking to him. What did they continue to tell to Job? They said, the God that we know is a God of justice. If you're a righteous person, he will give you good things. But if you are a bad person, he will punish you. So you obviously must be a bad person because the justice of God is being poured out upon you here. They had one view of God and neglected the other aspects of things that could be going on around them. So that's our idea for tonight, to consider both the goodness and the severity of God, not one or the other. Don't focus on only the severity of God and run away from him in fear, but also consider the goodness of God, the God of love, mercy, and forgiveness to those who are faithful and obedient to him. This time we offer the invitation to you that you can take advantage of the goodness of God at this time, to avoid the severity that he has reserved for those in the day of judgment who do not believe, who do not obey his voice. You can avoid that severity of him and by embracing the goodness that he has given out to us. If tonight there are any who have need to confess that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, confess that faith before us here tonight, you're willing to come forward to repent of your sins and be baptized, to have your sins washed away, then you can do that this time tonight. If we can be of any assistance to anyone else as well through prayers or encouragement, we ask that you let your needs be known while we now stand and sing.